Well, take your Bible and turn to the book of John, John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And if you have an old Schofield, it's on about 1143. But let me read that first verse there. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Let's pray. Father in heaven, how we thank thee for this day, as we think of when you went to the cross, you were buried, you died and were buried. But Lord, the all-important thing is, as we celebrate today, you came out of that grave on Sunday morning. How we rejoice at that, and we thank thee for the salvation that you have given us, for we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, as we look at this, he lives. John 20, 1-18. In verses 1 and 2, Mary in the empty tomb. And then secondly, in verses 3 to 10, Peter and John and the empty tomb. And then in verse 11 through 18, Mary and the risen Lord. Now those little sheets that I've handed out before, you might have them already, but they can really be a good help. One of them gives you the events that happened on Easter morning, and of course at the resurrection. And of course, they'll give you all the scriptures, the different gospels. Not all of them had the whole thing. It's one of them, you put them all together and they can tie that together. The other sheet, the bigger little sheet there, it has about all of his appearances there after his resurrection, as he appeared to them. But as you think of this, you hear many sermons on the death of Christ, and that is proper. But so often, we make too little of the resurrection of Christ and Easter. As one has said, you cannot make too much of the death of Christ, but you can make too little of the resurrection of Christ. And the resurrection is so important. Friend, it was a resurrection, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, that if he be not raised, we have no hope. The resurrection of Christ, if he raised, will be raised if you are a Christian. And of course, as you think of that, it's so important. Also, as you think of this, the gospel, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He died, he was buried, but they'll never forget the resurrection. I remember years ago I heard Jerry Falwell make a statement about that, and he was bringing out about that. He said for years he'd talked to people and led people to Christ, and he'd talk about his death, but he left out the resurrection at times. And he said, I need to do it. And of course, that's one thing, as you present the gospel, it's not just the death. It's he resurrected from the grave. That's the all-important thing. That is really what tells us that God accepted his payment on the cross. He brought him out of the grave. Also, he arose on that third day, but has it gotten to the depths of our soul and our heart? You know, we go over this each year. We have a resurrection of Christ that we celebrate. Does it really get down to your very being? Because one day, we're going to die. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, friend, you're in trouble. But you can know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you have that same assurance to one day be with him. The all-important saying is the songs that we sung. And the important thing, he lives. And you know, as that one song said, you know, shout it. You know, we can be a little shouting even if we wanted to. The thing that really, he rose from the grave. And friend, that's so important. This life we pass through, and we have something on the other side. Also, all the founders of other religions, they're dead in a tomb someplace or dead in a grave, not even moving. Their body is stiff. But, you know, that's not true with our Savior. Now, let's look at this. Mary in the empty tomb. As we read that first verse, the other Gospels tell us that there were other ladies with her. Now, if you look at verse 2 there, it says we. So she's saying, speaking, even though you don't see the ladies there, but these little papers will bring that out where it speaks of them. But there were other ladies with her. And as they prepared to finish the preparation, you know, when they took him off the cross, they didn't have time to do everything that they needed to do. And these ladies were coming to do that next morning. And, of course, this is when they came. We see it is still early and even dark. Matthew tells us in Matthew 26, 2-4, an angel rolled away the stone. Now, when the army, the soldiers were there to protect the grave, you know, the Jewish leaders had them put soldiers there because they were afraid that the Jews would come and take the body and then say he had risen from the grave. But when those soldiers saw him roll away the stone, they departed. Now, is it not interesting, though, the disciples did not get that message? You know, they had even forgotten at this point of what he had told them before. And he had told them about the death, burial, and resurrection. But they had forgotten, but the Jewish leaders didn't, because they were afraid that the disciples would take the body and then claim that he had rose. Now, the Jewish leaders, once that body was gone, the Jewish leaders, they bribed those soldiers, Matthew 28, 13 through 15, to say that the disciples came and got it. But you know how foolish this is. When you think of the disciples, once this was over with, remember in the evening, they were hiding up in an upper room, afraid they were going to be the next that would be crucified. And they took them from the soldiers. Kind of ridiculous, isn't it? How foolish. These soldiers, they had swords and they had spears. Now also, the only thing that the Jewish leaders had to do was produce the body. And friend, they never did. Why? Because he lives. He's alive. He's not dead. Now notice the first day of the week. Now that is why we worship on Sunday. Now you know the Jewish people, they worshiped on the Sabbath day, which is Saturday. And of course, he was dead on the Sabbath day, but he arose on Sunday, the first day of the week. In fact, the first day is really when the church began. You know, the day of Pentecost. Now I know there's different opinions, but I think the day of Pentecost was when the church, which we think of as the church today, you know, the Old Testament scripture and the Jewish people, but we have the church and Pentecost on Sunday. Now, Mary was the one that Jesus had cast out seven demons, Luke chapter 8, verse 2, and she was a devoted follower of the Lord. Look at verse 2. And she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and the other disciples, whom Jesus loved. Now, when you see that, you know that's John. All through the book of John, he speaks of the disciple that Jesus loved, and that spoke of himself. And, of course, you can say that if you're a Christian, too, the one he loves. And, of course, even if you aren't, you can praise that because he made it possible for you to be a believer. And saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we, showing the other women that were there that she left at the tomb, knowing not where they have laid him. Now she runs, not knowing what to do, but she runs back thinking to get some of the disciples for help. She finds Peter and John walking together as they were walking, maybe coming back to the tomb. John the writer is the one whom spoke of himself as the one that Jesus loved, as I mentioned before. That can be said by every believer. John could have very well been with Peter, maybe encouraging him. Remember, it was Peter. Remember how he denied the Lord. And, of course, we looked at that last week. Now, we do not know if it be true or not, but that is exactly what we as fellow believers are to do with one another. You know, that's really one of the reasons for a church, to encourage and aid and help each other. And of course, as we'd encourage each other as we go through problems and difficult times, as Peter was going through a very difficult time as he had denied the Lord, saying that he would not. That is one of the important missions of a local church. So often in times of trouble and heartbreak, we isolate ourselves. A lot of times people, they'll isolate themselves. Now, there's nothing wrong in getting along with the Lord as you go through difficult times. But, you know, we need other people. That's where we come and study the Bible, but that's not the only thing. The only two, we have each other, and we encourage each other. And, you know, there's a lot of people that maybe you're going through something that someone's gone through the very same thing, and how they can encourage you as you go through those times. I am sure as she spoke, she was filled with fear and hysteria. She probably didn't know what up and down was. She just all tore up at this time. And how would someone do this after he died and then to steal him out of the tomb? How would anyone do such a thing? With tears, she shares the news with these two. But secondly, we see Peter and John in the empty tomb. Notice verse 3 and 4. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulcher. So they ran both together, and the other disciple, and other disciple outran Peter, and came first to the sepulcher. Now, as they run back to the tomb to see themselves, we do not know how far the tomb was. Mary had run to find them, and now they're running back. Now, at first, they ran together. But second, Peter began to lag behind, and John began to take the lead. You know, many believe that John may have been the younger of the disciples. You kind of get the idea that Peter may be a little older, but you kind of think of him as a big old rough fisherman, too. I can bear witness. I sure can't run like I did once. In fact, as you get a little older and you pass certain years, you kind of notice the difference. Just every 2 or 3 years, things are changing as your body is changing. Now, John arrives first, but notice what happens. Look at verse 5 through 7. And John stooped down and looked, and notice that word saw. I'll bring something out on that in just a minute. John in and saw the linen cloth lying, yet went not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre. And notice the word it used, and seeth the linen cloth lying. In other words, he looked down, and the linen cloth was just lying there where Jesus was lying. And the napkin that was upon his head, not lying with the linen cloth, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Now, the linen cloth lying. Now, in Sunday school, we went through this, that you remember there in Sunday school. When they buried those people, the Jewish people would bury, they would really wrap them much like the Egyptians did. And, of course, we've been studying on the wilderness journey as they were leaving Egypt and going on to the Promised Land, probably something that they learned from the Egyptians. But, you know, there was a difference. The Egyptians, they would wrap the whole body in the head. If you've ever been in some of the museums, every once in a while you'll see one of those that the Egyptians, where they wrapped the whole body. But, you know, here, and we saw that last time, too, last week, about Lazarus. They would wrap the whole body, but the head they would leave open, and they would put a napkin over it. And if you remember in Sunday school, we just touched upon that. When they wrapped that body up, it was strips of wrapping, much like when I think of it, I think like when you wrap a wound, they'll wrap around that with that gauze, but it was strips of material. And they spoke of myrrh and aloes. They would mix the aloes and myrrh together, and as they would wrap it between each wrap, they would put some of that aloe and glue, and that would really make glue it together. And really, as that would dry, they really had him up looking like a mummy. And of course, as it dried, it would just be like a cocoon. What is it, the cicadas that we get, whatever, well, so many years, and you see a lot of them around, and a butterfly, though, comes out of a cocoon like too, doesn't it? But you know, as they looked down, you could see the shape of his body, and the shape of his body was in that, but there was nobody there. There was nobody there. By this time, the glue had dried. Remember, they did not wrap the head, just as they did with with as we looked last week. Now notice that word. Now it's interesting here. You don't see the Greek, but notice John did not go in, but he saw. Scholars tell us that little word saw means to perceive, to understand. Now when you look at the word, it speaks of Peter. When he went in, he seeth. Now that word in the Greek just simply means that he saw it. He just took it in. But John was a different thing. He perceived. He was understanding something. In Mark 8:31 as well as Luke 9:22, Jesus had already told them that he was going to go to Jerusalem and they would crucify him. But he'd come back from the grave. Now, they had forgotten that. But at this point, I think John's beginning to remember what took place. And, of course, he began to realize, and I think at this point he began, well, he's risen from the grave. The resurrected body is different from the body that we have today. Jesus' body was a body of flesh and bone. The Gospels speak of how when they saw him, a body of flesh and bone. Now, the body we have today is flesh and blood. It's different. And that body is different in this respect. Evidently, what happened? Now, they saw that there, and what it's saying is that the shape of his body was there, but he was not there in them. His body was changed from what it was before. Now, the body we have today, we couldn't come up through that. But the body that Jesus has, he came up through that. If you remember, and of course, if you come tonight, that it speaks to the fact of how that he just appeared in the room where they were at. The wall didn't keep him out. So evidently, maybe the body that we have, we'll have a body such as he had, a similar body, that he just appeared in. And of course, he came up through that like a cocoon. It was just there, see his body. Now, the resurrected body is much different. And of course, it's flesh and bone and not flesh and blood. Remember when Lazarus came out. Remember last time in John 11, when he came out of the tomb, he'd been dead for 3 days, 4 days. And of course, they knew that he was dead, but when he came out, Jesus said, loose him. He had that same thing around his body. Later, Jesus will appear in the room, and of course, the doors are locked. They were in fear in that upper room that they would come and get them next. If someone stole the body, you know what would happen. Or if there's some of these folks that say, well, he didn't really die, he just kind of swooned away. But you know, if that was the case, there would be wrapping all around that room, because you'd have to get the wrapping out. If the wrapping's still there, that something would have to change. But the wrapping was this part of his body. You could see his body there, like a cocoon. Now look at verse 8 and 9. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first, speaking of John, to the sepulcher. And he saw and believed. For as yet they had knew not of the scriptures that he must raise from the dead. Now John remembers the events, and he remembered that Jesus had told them about that. He saw, verse 8. Means he understood and he realized what's happened. John realized that he had risen from the dead. We are not told if Peter realized it at this moment, but I'm sure as they begin to leave that they discussed that, and I'm sure that Peter was reminded of it too. Remember back in chapter 19, verse 27, John had taken Mary, the mother of Jesus, to his own home to care for her. We've looked at that this morning, Matthew 28, verse 8 through 10. She was not among those at the tomb, those ladies. But I bet when he got back home and he realizing what had happened, I would imagine there would have been some shouting within. You know, another scripture like we saw this morning in Sunday school about things that were predicted in the past, they only had the Old Testament. And in Psalm 16, verse 8 through 11, and you can tell this is really Jesus speaking through this, but you'll see a lot of that you'll see in the Old Testament predicting this. In Psalm 16, verse 8 through 11, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope, for thou shalt not leave my soul in hell. Now the word hell there in the Old Testament in the Hebrew, it is really the word Sheol. We have the same thing that we see in the New Testament that speaks of Hades. This speaks of the place of the dead. Before Jesus died on the cross, there was a place where it was divided. There was a paradise side when a believer would die, Old Testament saint, or what if he was a believer, he would go to that paradise side. If they were unsaved, and you think in Luke 16 of Lazarus and the rich man, you can see that very thing. As you see the rich man, he was in torment. And before that time, there was divided. But as soon as Jesus arose from the grave, he took these that were in that place and took them to heaven. Now, he says the fact, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one, speaking of Christ, to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In my presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And of course we know Jesus is on the right hand of the Father at this time too. Now notice lastly, the wonderful part, Mary and the risen Lord. Notice verse 11 and 12. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of the Lord Jesus lay. And of course, evidently, what they saw was the cocoon there of the body, but they saw the angels on each one end. Mary arrives back to the tomb. Of course, at this time, the other ladies that were there, they had left. And of course, if you remember, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome, and Joanna were those that were mentioned. And of course, they see the angel, and they left before Peter and John arrived. Peter and John surely at this time had departed. And of course, some of these little sheets will kind of take you through some of that and help you as you go through that. The angels who made the soldiers dead when they saw them, and the one that rolled away the stone, Matthew 28:4, didn't faze her. You know, this tells me that she was in a condition right now. She wasn't thinking straight. She was scared. And I'm sure that we all have experienced times like that. Also, the two angels appeared as men. You know, if you study through the Old Testament scripture and the New Testament, you see when angels appeared mainly in the Old Testament to the Jewish people, they appeared as men, but they were angels. Now, of course, also appeared as men, we see them throughout the Bible. Look at verse 13. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. Now the angels are seeking to get her attention. Now why are you weeping? At this point, she is so filled with tears she can't see, and was so taken with the grief, not really thinking. All she knew that they had taken my Lord. He was dead, and why would they take his body like this? But let me bring out something there. Notice she says, my Lord. You know, any one of us can trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, realizing you're a sinner, realizing you're nothing you can do, and you put your faith and trust in him and him alone to save you and to change your life, and he'll save you. But you know, let me tell you, if you're a Christian here, are you one who put him on the throne of your life? Not just he's Jesus, your Savior, but you allowed him to have control of your life and to let him be the Lord of your life. You know, you need that as a Christian, and he'll lead you in your life and direct your life and help you. Notice verse 14 and 15. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me hence where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Now, Jesus appears to her, but at this point, she doesn't recognize him at all. She may have heard him behind him. Maybe the angel stood up in reverence to him. I don't know, but she knew someone was behind him. We do not know the reason she did not recognize him. You know, I know in Luke chapter 24, there was a time that Jesus was walking with two on that Emmaus road, and in some way that he kept them from recognizing him. And then when they got back to the home of these folks, that Jesus disappeared, and of course all at once they recognized him. But we don't know, but it might have been just that she was so wrapped up with the fear and the sadness that it grabbed her. She does not realize that he is the risen Lord at that time. You see in her words how much she loved the Lord who had changed her life, had delivered her from torment of these demons that had possessed her. She would care for the body and take care of it. Now notice verse 16. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. she turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say master. She knew that voice. She heard that voice. She recognized it as he spoke her name. Have you ever had a great calamity in your life? And of course you weren't thinking straight. You know, when I think through this, I always think that, you know, in a family, if you hear someone in your family, maybe it was in a car wreck, but you haven't heard back from them. You were all wrapped up with fear and really crying and all, wondering what in the world happened. And then all of a sudden you get a phone call and they say, oh, we're fine. The car's kind of bumped up a little bit, but we're doing fine. But I guess you would kind of feel a little what she felt at that moment. You know, as you would think your loved one may be hurt, maybe dead. But then all at once you get the good news. Well, here she's getting the good news. Jesus, who had died, and she thought his body had been stolen on top of that, but here he is standing behind her, standing in front of her now as she turns around, and of course she recognized the Savior. Now the other women in Matthew 28:5-7 had been told by the angel that he had arisen in the other scriptures. John and possibly Peter, I know John did, and sure both of them realized the fact that he had risen because they remembered what he said. But Mary Magdalene, she was the first one to see the Lord. In Matthew 28:8-10, he later appears to the other women. And thirdly, he appears to Peter, 1 Corinthians 15:5, as well as Luke 24:34. But the first one he appeared to was this woman who was demon-possessed, who had come to him. He had changed her life. He had saved her and took the demons away. She was at the cross as well as at the tomb. You know, every time I see a plague, you don't see them as much, but I can remember it used to be that big Baptist church, the Southern Baptist Church there across from Operaland. And I remember one time that we went when they had a show, a program. They even, if I remember right, I think they had a camel in there that they had the show. But you know, when you come to the end, you come to the end where that stone is rolled away from the tomb. And I don't know about you as a Christian, but I know of myself, I always get tears in my eyes when I see that open stone. And you look in and you see it's empty. He's not there. Why? Well, he lives. He arose. He's out of the grave. We may not see him as Mary did, but friend, he arose from the grave. He defeated death, hell, and the grave, and I might say also he defeated Satan. Because he lives, we'll live also if you know him as your Savior. Now notice verse 17. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Now, much speculation has been brought about this. Some people just think that he's saying, just don't touch me, go do and tell the others. But I'm inclined to believe, and I guess it was Dr. McGee that I heard bring this out, that really, I'm inclined to believe that really at this point, Jesus is the high priest. And remember in the Old Testament scripture, how once a year the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies with a sacrifice for the people, for the sins. And of course, this is a picture that Jesus, of course, in heaven. You know, there's a temple in heaven. In Revelation 11:19, it speaks about, and the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the Ark of the Testament, and there was lightning and voices and thundering and in earthquakes and a great hail. You know, there is a temple, evidently, much like the temple that was put on earth. And, of course, as that high priest would go in once a year to offer a sacrifice, I think what Jesus was going to this place in heaven to present himself and his blood as really the sacrifice to pay the sin debt. And, of course, a different thing, as Hebrews 10:11-14 makes it clear, the Old Testament priest would go in there over and over and over every year. But Jesus went in there once and for all, never more to be repeated. It never will be repeated, for he paid the debt. He will return and appear to the other women the same morning. And, of course, these sheets will take you through that if you go through those. And it's interesting that he chose to appear to these women. even first before the disciples. You know, I do believe that God has given the lead in the church to men, but my friend, the church would not be what it is without women serving and living for the Lord. How important it is. I can remember a lot of the preachers that have radio broadcasts say that most of the people that support their program are not men so much as they are women. Verse 18, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Now she carried out her mission. She goes and shares the message with the disciples. Mark tells us, though, that they believed her not. In the book of Luke, it tells us the other women, they saw the Lord too. As he came back, he appeared to them that morning too. And of course, they told the disciples, and they believed not. But we will see next time that he will appear to them all in that evening, except for Thomas. How often we too get blinded by the circumstances of life and forget to serve the risen Lord. He understands. You know, I don't know how people who don't know Christ, I don't know how they go through this life. They go through the same thing of losing loved ones, of having difficult times in their life and all. But, you know, as a Christian, you know this life is not all there is. You know, it's not just this life and is it. In conclusion, they had all forgotten the time the Lord had told them that he would go to the cross and he would come out of the grave. Only the enemies, the Jewish leaders, they remembered him saying that. That's why they sent the guard there to protect the tomb. They weren't trying to protect the body. They were trying to keep someone from taking the body. Mary's broken heart with tears is the first to see the Lord. With her tears of sorrow is turned to tears of joy. We know by the other Gospels, he too appeared to the other ladies as well, just as he did her. He is our Lord and Savior, as well as the great high priest who made the payment. He died to save us, and friend, he lives to keep us saved, and one day we'll be with him. The time, the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, is the death, the burial, and don't ever forget the resurrection. If he be not raised, we're men without and women without hope. And of course, he died, was buried, and he arose again. Romans 5:10 speaks of it also. He lives, you know, I'm not a Pentecostal, but sometimes when you think of this, it makes you almost want to shout as you think of our, you know, this is not all we got. It's all because of him. And I know that we believe it, but has we gotten down to the depth of our heart? He lives, and because he lives, if you're a child of God, you'll live one day too. The resurrected Christ proves that the Father accepted his payment. The resurrection really proves that. Rejoice, Christian, if you know Christ as your Savior. But you know, as we always close, we like to close with the gospel. Don't ever want anybody going out but not knowing about how to be saved. Romans 3:23, Romans 3:10, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. I don't care who you are. Each one of us are sinners. Now, it's a hard thing to think, but we are. We're sinners, and we need a Savior. You know, that's why man is without hope, for there was no one perfect that lived, that were humans, except the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit of God that could have gone to the cross and paid the said debt. Had to be someone perfect. And, of course, with the first thing you got to realize, I'm a sinner. Nothing I can do. Nothing I can do at all. But you know the wonderful thing is you think of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, that's when you come to the end of yourself and realize, Lord, there is nothing I can do. I can't pay anything. I can't give anything. Lord, I'm just a sinner. But I know in John 3:16, you died for me. You died for me. You paid the debt. And I'm putting my whole trust in what you did. Your death, burial, and resurrection is payment for. Won't you come into my heart and change my life? And friend, if you mean business, he'll save you. You know, in Romans 10:9-10, it says, If we confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in the heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made to salvation. Now, when you get saved, it's not just saying a few words someone told you to say. It's coming from your heart. It's the mouth and the heart saying the same thing. You know, it's, Lord, change my life. And from your heart, Lord, save me. And you know, he'll save you. He'll change your life. And of course, I'll tell you one thing. Easter will mean a whole lot more to you than it did before. Because you know Easter because he lives. If you know Christ as your Savior, you'll live also throughout all eternity with him. Let's bow our head just for a moment. If you're here, and maybe God's speaking to your heart. May have nothing to do with salvation. Maybe a believer gotten away from the Lord. You don't lose your salvation if you're truly saved. But, of course, you lose that close fellowship. It's when you confess, 1 John 1:9, and he confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness and renew that close fellowship. But if there's something that I can help you with, I'm going to be quiet for just a minute. If anybody feels like coming forward, you do that, or see me after church. And, of course, we'll talk about it. But let's just have just a moment of silence, and then we'll close in prayer.